just recently Atlassian announced, right? This is the maker of Jira and Confluence and all these other great products, honestly. But these great products now, unless you're at the highest enterprise level and you opt out, right, are going to have your data trained on. That's just part of it's part of what Atlassian needs to make its own AI product work the way they want it to work. It's data hungry.
Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. We're in San Antonio, Texas today, and I'm excited to be sitting down with Perry Robinson, the CEO of Rocket Docs, which is a fun company I've enjoyed watching primarily on LinkedIn as you've really expanded that footprint, the customer base, but I think overall the product. So Perry, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Justin. It's great to be on.
Now, we've gotten to know each other in the past. You've had a long background in tech and in startups and entrepreneurial endeavors that have been successful. But today we're talking about Rocket Docs. And I think there's just a big need in today's world for products like Rocket Docs because the speed of the world has really just accelerated.
Yeah.
What is Rocket Docs for somebody that's not familiar with it? And what's going on in 2026 for you?
Yeah. Thanks for having me and for letting me share about Rocket Docs. So Rocket Docs is actually, it's a 30-year-old company. So it's been innovating in the space of what we call proposal response and RFP management for quite a bit of time. But I came into the company about 3 years ago, and we found that not only does it do proposal response and RFP management really well, but that a core capability is knowledge management. And we deploy tools that Rocket Docs has in vertical applications to help people really cut down on the amount of time it takes to respond to RFPs or other long-form questionnaires, and also to prepare approved on-brand marketing collateral. But we do that by keeping their company knowledge up to date and approved by subject matter experts, right? So we tend to end up focusing a lot on regulated companies, life sciences, healthcare, insurance, financial services. And if you ever go to our website, you'll see that we've got some incredible marquee customer names that have been on the product, some of them for over 20 years.
What an incredible position to be in, especially with the growth that you're bringing to the product, but to have the legacy and the background of doing this over time. Mm-hmm. But what you just outlined to me sounds like a lot of what I see companies doing, just filling out the form over and over and over again every day. Or I see a lot of back and forth emails approving content language that is similar or the same language that we've used multiple times already. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah. I mean, that's effectively what we do is by having the information inside of the knowledge base and already signed off by that subject matter expert, we can deploy the information automatically so that you don't have to answer those questions over and over. Now, what's interesting about it is that that's actually leveraging some older AI and machine learning technology to be able to find where the questions are and then to be able to match them with the appropriate answers inside the system. So it's in this world where we all talk about AI every day, right? Rocket Docs has actually been deploying AI to some of the largest companies in the world for a couple decades.
A lot of people don't recognize that, and they're just getting familiar with ChatGPT. But when you talk about large language models and machine learning and just how information's been processed, we've been doing a lot of this for a long time. The good example we're on Rocket Docs doing it specifically. But I think what I'm hearing as well is version control, and then where do you store it, that information? Because in my corporate experience, it's often been a challenge of how do we keep information secure and current to the version when you've got 100 people going in and out of a Google Drive folder, as an example, making updates. And that's where I see an opportunity for the corporate world to really look at it and say, how could we do this differently?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's, I think in general, there's always been a challenge about, where do we store pieces of information? How do we store it? How do we access it? And that's one of the things that Rocket Docs has done so well for so long is helping people to manage inside of a, a single control panel, right? So you have one place and it's stored securely today inside of each of the customer's VPCs, their virtual private cloud instances. So, you know, it's all ISO 27001 and SOC 2 Type 2 with the SOC 2 Type 2 audit actually having the security for the system in scope, right? So, I mean, we've been tested by some of the most challenging companies from a security perspective in the world. It's also why when we started thinking about deploying newer versions of AI, generative AI, right, there was a significant opportunity because a lot of folks were being told, hey, go out and use AI for new things. I think there was a statistic that like 80% of boards were telling the companies to go out and use AI, but only 20% of the companies actually trusted it for use. So a lot of what we've been doing in 2026 and part of 2025 has been building out the capability to deploy AI agents. That's Luma for us. That's our product line there that are actually running a secure version, and it's built off of companies' knowledge. So it's deploying that information that they're storing and giving them access to it in different ways than they've had before without the exposure of the information to security threats or a loss of confidentiality by sharing it with one of the big players like OpenAI or Anthropic.
Well, and I think Google is in that list as well. If you look at terms and conditions, you're exposing a lot of corporate IP if you're using Google Drive.
And Google Drive, and Microsoft, you name it, yeah.
Any of them, they get access to it. And then you're also, you have it insecure in transit as well. So there's lots of things that are coming out. But I've appreciated Rocket Docs on your LinkedIn. You've really been challenging, and on your Luma brand too, you've been challenging corporate leaders to think about how much IP they are giving away, how much secret sauce are you feeding into Claude or OpenAI with the expectation that no one's ever going to see it. But what the reality is that makes it immediately available to many people for good or bad reasons.
Yeah, it does. It's interesting because a lot of times folks in the chief information security officer or the chief security officer position, they're thinking about outside actors that are, they're unauthorized third parties with malicious intent. But I think that it's equally important that we're thinking about, you know, where the data that we're sending is going. When we're voluntarily sharing it with those other organizations and what are they going to do with it? And it's not that they have malicious intent. You know, you can take a Microsoft or a Google or an OpenAI and you can share the information with them. They're just trying to build their own businesses, but your data is incredibly valuable for them to use to train their machines. It's incredibly valuable for them to get insights into additional ways that they can sell their services to you. And if you're choosing to do that voluntarily and you're thinking about it and you know where it's going, that's your decision to make. Right. What's been important to me is to make sure people are thinking about and really checking to see where that data flow runs. Who's the final place where your data is going to sit with? And are you comfortable with it? Because you can lose competitive positioning. If you're a publicly traded company, you can potentially expose information, which is non-public information that needs to be disclosed only in specific ways with people. And then there's just the matter of remaining competitive from a sales side, which is to say that, you know, we don't want to go in and, for example, answer an RFP and have the same generic answer as everybody else. And we also don't want to have it to where by going out and using AI to answer an RFP that it's giving the same answer to us as it is to our competitor to put into the same question. It doesn't make you stand out very much when you've got something that just doesn't look very different.
Well, and something that changes quite often. And when I think about it, we've talked about your AI tool really being a closed system where it can't go out and hallucinate as easily. It can't go out and find random not facts and pull them in. So there's a lot of control on the input and the output of a closed AI system like what you're discussing.
Yeah. It's something which, you know, I like to say, look, it's limited on purpose. And so there are limitations in what our Luma AI is able to do because it's not going to the internet to find answers for you. But that's where the strength in the product comes as well, right? Because it's only using your company knowledge, you know, that it's not going to find information which is inaccurate. And again, for us, our particular use case, it's not for somebody to book their travel itinerary, right? Or to figure out, you know, a better way to put their shopping list together. You know, what we're being used for is when somebody wants to take a set of all their vendor contracts and to look through those and to query the contracts and to understand that. Or if they have a very important internal set of data, you know, maybe it's reporting on sales for the month as you're preparing your reporting for your board. It could be that it's information that you're using to better understand how to optimize your product capabilities based on customer utilization. Or even worse, it could include information that you're looking at that you want to have that's about where your product's not working well for your customers or where trouble tickets are coming in. These are information pieces that you don't want to share with the general public, but you also don't want to have that information infected by information that comes from the internet. If I want to know what's happening with my business, it doesn't help at all if Claude goes out and helps to add some additional data into my results that comes from another company, not me.
Right. Well, it also reminds me that if you're not paying for a product, you are the product. And when That's we right. think about how these companies are using data, it's very easy to go to ChatGPT, OpenAI, Claude, mm-hmm. and use the free version. And my concern is a lot of employees with the best of intent are trying to use these tools to move faster, to be more efficient, mm-hmm. To drive better emails, maybe. But those are the ones that are putting out, in my mind, the biggest risk, because it is a free or a really open mm-hmm. example of licensing. So it might be the first tier license.
Yeah.
It's not locked down and secure. And from a corporate policy standpoint, I see that as a challenge for executive teams everywhere that want to move fast, to your point. Their boards are encouraging them to use AI. But it is something I would just caution everyone to take a step back and say, do we have the right policy? Do we have the right use cases? And then cost is starting to get a lot of attention as the credit model mm-hmm. plays out. And it might not be a cost savings like we thought it once was.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's interesting because it's not just the free versions, right? So, you know, just recently Atlassian announced, right? This is the maker of Jira and Confluence yeah. and all these other great products, honestly. But yeah. These great products now, unless you're at the highest enterprise level and you opt out, right, are going to have your data trained on. That's just part of it's part of what Atlassian needs to make its own AI product work the way they want it to work. It's data hungry. And they're not the only ones. They're actually, I applaud them for coming out publicly and telling people in advance and giving them an opportunity to be able to make a shift if they need to. Just a few days ago, I talked to a company that's actually helping businesses to identify when shadow AI usage is happening inside their business so they can make appropriate decisions about whether somebody should have access to that AI tool that is out there or to block it off. And that's whether it's approved or just to make sure it's only being used for a specific approved use case. But what was incredibly interesting to me was that even that company that's building that tooling had yet to think about what happens when somebody's engaging a tool and that tool is actually relying on a third-party AI provider. There's so many tools out there today that are literally just an interface on top of a company's current platform that reaches directly into ChatGPT.
Right.
And when you have that happen, you don't have a contractual relationship with OpenAI or with ChatGPT to protect your information. There's no confidentiality that necessarily applies. You don't have privacy or data protection, commitments being made. And you don't know whether your data can have a change made in which where they are saying, hey, we're not going to train on your data. Well, that can change on 30 days notice and require, again, you to opt out in time in order to not have it happen. It's just none of us wants to find out one day that these tools that we've been using that are helping us out so much have resulted in exposure to that data as a result of a data breach, or even, again, these other scenarios where it could be non-malicious. It's important to know who's providing you what and how it's working. That's I guess, the end point from my perspective.
Well, and I think the example I saw of that early on, and that being 18, 24 months ago,
yeah.
Salesforce was very openly saying, you cannot use our data to train on other tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at first I was a little taken aback by that, saying, well, that's my data in Salesforce, I should be able to use it. But I think there was maybe some wisdom in their decision to not let those tools into their ecosystem and to really ensure that they can control where that data goes based on their contractual commitments to customers already.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the only thing is that, I don't know if you've seen just recently, Salesforce is now announcing, the capability to run headless systems, which means that they're thinking about now the ways to hook the data in. And I think it goes to show the amount of pressure that there is on the companies to find ways to make information available for AI use, right? So this is not going away. Right.
Right.
We all have to think about, our company, to your point, we have to think about what our company's policies and controls each need to be. And then we need to figure out ways to understand the tools that we're working with, the vendors we're working with, the tools that they're using, and to know where the data is going. And oh, by the way, this summer, the EU AI Act comes into force. And it has the capability to issue massive fines based on the amount of money your company makes each year. So not only is this something that we should be thinking about from a company policy perspective, but now we also have requirements that are coming in, especially when we're handling the data belongs to other people.
So when you're at Rocket Docs and you're thinking about that with your clients, are you talking to their general counsel or are you talking to their C-suite about these risks?
Yeah, lately what we found is we end up talking to what's usually a composite team. Yeah, it's an AI governance committee, that sort of thing. It's either ad hoc or formally established. And if not there, then yes, we're certainly talking to their general counsel oftentimes in discussions around AI addendum. The chief compliance officer is a person that we're speaking to an awful lot because at the end of the day, oftentimes, at least for our customers, they're the person who's going to be answering the questions about why was this done this way. Even the chief legal officers are relying on the chief compliance officers these days to help out with making sure that what's happening inside of the company is actually matching up with the policies that have been created by the company as a whole.
Well, it's interesting for Rocket Docs as a company that's been established for so long, transitioning into this technology conversation has, I'm sure, been a journey, but how are you looking at that internally and how do all of these AI solutions roll back into the core product of Rocket Docs?
Yeah, it's, well, for us, it's always a matter we take the time to think about when we're building a product and we're releasing it to our customers, is it ready for them to be able to use it? For us, it's we just call it responsible release. It's a philosophy that we deploy in our product and development practices to make sure that when something's ready, it's been tested, it's been hardened, it's been tested again to make sure that it's doing things the way that we've designed it. But as a guiding principle, we tend to go with policy is a promise, architecture is a guarantee. So the other part that we try to make sure that we're always doing is not just writing things into contractual commitments, but building them out in the architecture of the technology that we're deploying so that people can really have confidence that when a product's come from Rocket Docs, like Luma, that it's architected to provide the level of protection of security, confidentiality, those sorts of things that are reflected inside of the commitments that we're making to the customer. And then we know that it can be tested in practice. They can have confidence in the use of the system. And that's when we get excited is to see that they've tested it. It's made it through all the approvals in terms of information security reviews. And more importantly, when it starts to get adopted by a large numbers of our customers and their team members.
It sounds like staff augmentation for the compliance team.
It effectively is. I mean, we do, you know, without having to pay us, you're able to outsource some of the capabilities just by a matter of knowing that when we're building something, we're building it with you in mind, right? There are a lot of fantastic, very, very low cost products out there for basic things. If you just want to have a New York Times article summarized for you, or you want to have the information about from all the different marketing email that we get, you know, read by an AI and summarized for you, you can use anything that's out there, right? It probably doesn't make too much of a difference. But again, when it comes to key information about a company, its competitive information, the information that it uses to generate revenue or to differentiate itself, we think that it's incredibly important that it's treated differently and it's run through systems that are designed specifically for that purpose.
With my background, I think about automotive design and those early renderings of a car coming out. Advanced manufacturing, they often get an early look at things that are coming. And that's where we've seen the leaks in the past. And now in defense is heavy in AI, and there's a lot of document sharing happening in that space. And I see that opportunity for a product like Rocket Ducks to really help them come in, understand encryption at rest, understand encryption in transit, and ensuring those leaks on early exciting deliverables aren't leaking out into the wild.
I love that you brought that up. It was enough of a concern on our part that we actually worked to develop a solution that allows for secure file transfer. And this is for very, very large files. There are solutions out there that allow you to transfer smaller files securely. But if you've ever been in one of those scenarios where somebody said, hey, we can't use email to exchange these documents, right? We have to use some sort of a portal, right? That's kind of the smaller file version of that. For us, because we are talking about working with such large amounts of customer data, we had to build out the capability for that information to be transferred. And interestingly, it is. It's those extremely exciting opportunities for companies to announce a new product where they really value the secrecy of the product that is driving a lot of utilization of our secure file transfer. In addition to that, it's also a matter of when there's a critical need to protect the information for security purposes, right? So whether it's inside of the defense space, inside of law enforcement, or just for companies to be able to know that they're able to securely transfer, you know, information from one place to the next. We built out that capability as part of Luma. It's what we believe a natural part of that company knowledge component. And of course, it's designed to be able to be used once the information is put into the secure file storage area. It's also available, if you choose to have it be something that you can work with our Luma AI assistant to then query the document, to find information about it, to summarize it, to all the cool things we like to do with AI assistants today, but in a fully secured space.
Well, I appreciate the conversation and the insight. I think even in this short period of time, there are things that I want to go back and dive in and understand deeper for my professional work. But where would people find Rocket Ducks, and how would they get in touch with you to understand if they're a fit for what this product does?
Yeah. Well, it's www.rocketdocs.com. And for Luma, we actually have an additional website for that as well. It's www.askluma.io. Perry Robinson, please feel free to email me. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can also email me at probinson@rocketdocs.com.
And you're busy at conferences around the world, really expanding that Texas footprint globally in what you do.
Yeah, we're proud to run Rocket Ducks out of Texas and to the rest of the United States and to the world. And we've been very, very lucky to have customers that sit in all corners of the earth so far.
Well, I want to encourage our corporate leaders to be thinking about everything that was talked about in this conversation, really that concept of compliance with AI. As we're growing in Texas, I hope we're thinking about the long-term repercussions of doing it right and or doing it quickly.
Justin, thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking to you, and I appreciate you letting us share the story of Rocket Docs and what we're doing.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the way you're building Texas, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Building Texas Show. Please like and subscribe on YouTube to follow along as we travel the state building Texas. Thank you to our sponsor, Chisos Boots, and their damn comfortable cowboy boots.